The sign above the front entrance of the one-story brick and cinder block building used to read, Les Produits Alimentaires Orientales, or in English, Oriental Food Products. A bunch of letters have been stripped away so that all that's left is Produit Rien, or Produce Nothing. I've known the owners, the ones who changed the sign, for decades, as artists, as friends, and as a couple. They invited me to curate an exhibition of their art to inaugurate the new space. This is a story of how the show came together. Okay, so the objectives to curate a show in the new space. What are you guys thinking of?
It had been a small-scale tofu factory in a transitional neighborhood here in Montreal, right up to when Paul and Karen took possession of the building. When they got the space, it was packed with stainless steel equipment and dusty bags of soya beans. Water seemed to be spilling out everywhere onto the uneven cement floor. The dank smell of mold was almost unbearable.
It's as much about just getting the kind of putting some history into the space, like changing the way it was, changing it from being a tofu factory to art production space.
Yeah. It took a year, but the past vocation of the building was effectively erased. The smell was gone. The front exhibition space was white-walled and well-lit and ready for art.
In a way, the exhibition and space is about you guys as a couple. What are you guys thinking about that?
Paul and Karen first caught each other's eye in 1994 during an artist residency in the village of Saint-Jean-Port-Joli on the banks of the St. Lawrence. They connected again in Montreal in 1996 and have been together ever since.
I never really think of our works together.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, they're not conceived in the sense of a couple.
Karen grew up on a mixed farm in rural Ontario, but she decided she wanted something different. She headed to Guelph to work at the age of 18, did her Bachelor of Fine Arts at University of Waterloo, then moved to Quebec to live in another language. Paul grew up looking at 35mm slides of surgery that his dad, the surgeon, would project while the family ate supper. He stuck around his hometown of Vancouver and ended up graduating in photography from Emily Carr School of Art in 1985. He was also attracted to Quebec and settled here. They both became professional visual artists with respectable CVs, which include exhibition credits across Canada and elsewhere in the world.
Well, I guess we want works that they're not going to hate each other up on the wall. I don't know.
So the exhibition was to present Karen and Paul's artworks in their new studio. But the starting point was that they didn't really see any connection between them. My job was to pick works that wouldn't hate each other, as Karen put it. I looked back at the long history of artist couples. Among the top 10 are Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera, and Jasper Johns and Robert Rauschenberg. There have been enough of them for the Centre Pompidou Metz to present Modern Couples, an exhibition in 2018 of the work of some 40 artist couples who were selected from a larger group of 200 artist couples featured in an actual dictionary of artist couples called Couple Moderne 1900 to 1950. On the art couple spectrum, Paul and Karen are not the fusional type, as is the case for the famous Marina Abramović and Yule, whose work is essentially about their couple. Nor do they directly collaborate together on art pieces like their peers Janet Cardiff and George Burse Miller, or Stephen Lawson and Aaron Pollard of the art duo TwoBoys.tv.
I think there's a fair amount of resistance, at least from my part, to collaborating on projects directly.
Why?
I mean, why?
Yeah.
Because I don't know that we see, I don't see our approaches to making work as our are really different. I don't know. I don't know when they join.
Yeah, they kind of don't. I plug away and Paul makes things kind of by accident.
Yeah, well, that's how I look at making work as something I steal. I don't know how to justify art making, you know. And Karen completely owns the idea of being an artist, right? And goes there. And I just have no idea. I pretend as though I'm an artist. That gets me through quite a bit.
So if Paul's pretending to be an artist, Karen says she is just an artist. She can't stop making art.
My hands have to be making things.
The pretender. The pretender and the
maker.
The maker.
I feel like you don't understand Paul's way of working, and he doesn't understand your way of working. So.
Well, we accept it, but we don't have an intrinsic knowledge of it.
Well, I think we don't even get to the point of having a conflict over it, you know, because it's so. We're not trying to have a dialogue directly. And I think that helps. That actually is part of our ability. That's a part of the formula of surviving.
Is there any kind of resentment around this kind of difference?
Not an ongoing one. Occasionally. I think occasionally it's frustrating. Yeah. I think Karen gets frustrated that it comes across as non-support. I'm not pushing her ideas because they don't land on me so much. And that, I think, is frustrating.
Yeah. Are there upsides of being, of not really understanding the other's way and accepting it? Are there upsides to that, do you think?
Thinking that we don't have expectations of kind of making magic as a couple.
It struck me that there was something political about this impasse between Paul and Karen in their art production. Even though, or perhaps because, their identities as artists define so much of who they are.
It's not like goals that couples usually state that they're aiming for.
The ideal of the harmonious romantic couple has been thoroughly critiqued by feminism as being a means for the patriarchal subordination of women, and by queer theory as a conservative, heteronormative binary. Both Paul and Karen are aware of these critiques and have embraced them. In their art and in their couple, each maintains their own separate identity.
Both of you, you know, you listen, Paul affects you and he affects your work, and vice versa, but it's not like you feel any obligation to become one within that.
No.
Direction for the show seemed to be emerging with this idea. And another critique came to mind that seemed to extend things further into a political metaphor. The current critique of the monolithic nation-state sees diversity as being more important than unity. If Paul and Karen's couple represents the coexistence of two diverse political bodies, then the exhibition space can be seen as a territory where their differences will be negotiated and communicated to viewers. So the problem was how to present their works in the exhibition. Paul and Karen had joked earlier that the solution to this would be creating a border down the middle of the space with Karen's work on one side and Paul's work on the other.
We could put a big piece of tape down the
middle.
No, P and K. No.
Was this the way to go? A border? From the narrative they'd given, it seemed like the necessary solution. That is, until I spent a morning with each artist looking through their work, an unexpected dialogue would open up inside these walls under the ironic banner Produit Rien, in the intermingling of the works of Karen the Maker and Paul the Pretender, in this exhibition that would be called Tout ou Rien, All or Nothing, and this with interesting repercussions on their couple narrative. That was the first episode of P&K Tout ou Rien, written and produced by Don Goods, with Karen Trask and Paul Witherland. Music by Undo and by Karen Trask. Thanks for listening.